Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Arum. I hope you're enjoying the Mark Arum Show podcast. A reminder, you can hear this very radio show live Monday through Friday. We're live 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. It's Friday. We made it. We're going to have some fun for the next 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Arum here at 6:08. It's 54 chilly degrees on Peachtree Street. We got a big show tonight. Johnny Kilbasa is off, but Jay Black is in. He's joining us live from Jacksonville. We'll preview the big Georgia-Florida game. We've got some fun stuff in the second hour, including Longoria. Mm-hmm. This amazing story. You're not going to believe this story. How much money shoe models are making at one of Atlanta's most popular gentlemen's clubs?
Wow.
It's going to blow your mind.
I'm sure it is.
We're in the wrong business, my friend.
We are in the wrong business.
I
could have told you that.
We're going to cover some breaking news to start off. You heard it here live on WSB Radio. We had sentencing today for the former DeKalb County police officer, Chip Olson.
I am going to sentence you to 20 years to serve the first 12 in custody. You will get credit for the 2 days that you served. You are not allowed to ever work in law enforcement. You are not allowed to possess any firearms.
20-year sentence, 12 to serve in this highly publicized case in which a DeKalb police officer shot and killed a naked, unarmed military veteran. Breaking it down for us and joining us live on the program is WSB legal analyst Ron Carlson. Phil Holloway. Sorry, Phil. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Mark. And look, there's nothing wrong with being sort of pulled into the good company of senior legal analyst Ron Carlson.
Indeed. Are you in a porta potty right now, Phil? We got a little weird connection.
No, I'm not.
There we go.
Better?
Oh, that's 100% all right. Better. All right. So you heard the sentence, 20 years, but 12 to serve. Let's start with that. What the heck does that mean?
Well, it means that he has to serve 20 years in prison unless he is paroled earlier than that. After 12 years, he will be on probation for the remaining 8. During that period of time on probation, he has to live up to certain rules like you can't get in trouble, you can't take drugs without a prescription, basic common sense things like that. She imposed some special conditions such as not possessing a firearm. Of course, that goes along with being a convicted felon anyway.
So last month, Olson, who's 57, was acquitted on murder charges, but convicted on 4 lesser charges, aggravated assault, making false statement to police officer, and 2 counts of violating his oath of office. Does the sentence today that was handed down jive with you for the crimes that he was convicted of?
You know, I tell you, Mark, he was very well served by his counsel. They went into this having turned down a plea deal that would have involved a 15-year sentence. Now, interestingly enough, following the jury's verdict, the prosecutor recommended a sentence of 20 years. I don't know what the reasoning was behind that increase from a 15 to 20-year recommendation, but nevertheless, he came out of it with less than what was on the table going into the trial. So from that perspective, it is something of a win. This is sort of what you might expect for someone who is convicted of aggravated assault, particularly when someone has died as a result. Now, aggravated assault in and of itself doesn't always warrant this type of prison sentence, but when someone dies, I think that makes a big difference to a sentencing judge.
WSB legal analyst, I'll get it right, Phil. Phil Holloway joins us on the Mark Arum Show. Earlier today, you heard it here live on WSB, former DeKalb County police officer Robert Chip Olson sentenced to 20 years, 12 to serve in prison. You mentioned he turned down that 15-year plea deal. Is this it now? Are we going to see any appeals from the defense, or is this case closed officially?
Oh, I would be shocked if there were not an appeal. There's always an appeal after a trial. That being said, he's going to be serving his sentence, most likely while the appeal runs its course. Theoretically, they could ask for an appeal bond, but those are rarely granted, especially in felony cases like this. So he will be serving his sentence most likely while his appellate team puts an appeal together, and that's going to take years.
So he will spend tonight in behind bars. That's it. He is going to be behind bars tonight.
He will be behind bars tonight, and at some point the DeKalb County Jail will notify the State Department of Corrections, and given the fact that he is a former police officer, I imagine that he will be in the custody of the Georgia Department of Corrections in very short order.
As a former police officer, Phil, is he going to be in protective custody once he gets to prison?
He will not be in protective custody per se. Now, that being said, certain individuals who are in the state prison system, such as police officers and other officials who might otherwise become targets, are somewhat isolated because of the threats that they could be in danger of receiving from other inmates. So police officers, or former police officers, I should say, are usually more closely guarded. So I wouldn't say it's special treatment. It's certainly not going to be a cakewalk for him, but they will take measures to protect him.
I would hope so. I can only imagine what a former law enforcement officer would have to deal with behind bars. Hang on a second. WSB legal analyst Phil Holloway joining us on the Mark Arum Show, breaking down today's breaking news. Former DeKalb police officer Chip Olson sentenced to 20 years with 12 to serve in prison for shooting and killing a naked, unarmed military veteran. Phil Holloway, so we know a jury sentenced Chip Olson to, I guess it was a month ago or so, but it was the judge that handed down the sentence. Is that normal that the jury will find the defendant guilty or not guilty, but it's up to the judge to determine the sentence? Is that usually how it works?
That is how it works in the state of Georgia. I want to take a second to draw a parallel to the recent case out of Texas where the female Dallas police officer was convicted by a jury of murder. You remember that case not too long ago?
Yes.
They have jury sentencing in Texas, and she received a sentence of 10 years for murder. So if you put those things side by side, there are some very big discrepancies from one state to the next in terms of how things are done. And I would not be surprised, Mark, if the jury in the Olson case, had they known what the potential sentence would have been for aggravated assault, I would not be surprised if the verdict had been even more in his favor than it was.
Interesting.
Juries don't know what the sentencing options are. The punishment is left entirely up to the judge in Georgia, with the exception of death penalty cases.
That's WSB legal analyst Phil Holloway. Follow him on Twitter at Phil Holloway ESQ, which is short for Esquire. Phil, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Anytime, my friend. Take care.
Covering the breaking news for us and was in the courtroom when it happens, WSB's Veronica Waters. She joins us now live on the Mark Arum Show. Veronica, sentence handed down, 20 years, 12 to serve. The reaction first from the victim's family. What did they think about this sentence?
They said that they don't feel that they completely got the justice that they thought was due here in memory of Tony Hill, as they're calling him now. Carolyn Jumo said, without anyone asking her, I didn't get what I wanted. I wanted the maximum, but some time is better than no time. And that's a tact that the defense, the DeKalb County District Attorney is taking too, that their position is, we got some measure of justice. We got some kind of conviction here in a nation where police officers are rarely indicted, let alone convicted of anything. So I think people are trying to see the silver lining here. And I think there's a silver lining for Robert Olson, too, because he got far less than the max he could have.
Yeah, the max would have been 30 years, 25 to serve. What was the reaction from Olson and his family when the judge told him the verdict?
And he was pretty stoic at that point. He had gotten emotional earlier during the sentencing. I'm not sure if you saw that. There were a couple times where he kind of choked back tears, particularly when one of his friends was testifying as a character witness on his behalf. But by the time he had decided not to speak in court, and I think we were surprised by that because his lawyer said that he would. So by the time the judge handed down sentencing and she said to him, I know I've seen you crying. I know that you've been reliving this day. And she gave the sentence, and I didn't see really much of any reaction on his face. I didn't see any surprise. I didn't see tears again. His wife, Kathy Olson, remember, she got really emotional at the conviction.
Yeah.
And she ran out of the courtroom saying, it's not true, it's not true. Today she was actually pretty fine. Her husband walked out of the courtroom, and but people kept sort of gathering around her and sort of consoling her when she didn't actually seem to need consolation, and she ended up bursting into tears at that point. I think all of the well-wishing just made a dam break there.
I assumed we would hear from the former DeKalb police officer today during sentencing. That surprised me that he didn't speak on his own behalf.
Yeah, I think we were all surprised, as I said, because his lawyer said, even in court, that he was going to speak. And he testified at his immunity hearing last year. So we haven't actually heard anything from Robert Olson's mouth on the stand since May of last year. And he did not have a good showing then. The prosecutor, Pete Johnson, really gave him what for in his cross-examination there. And but he's had, what, a year and a half to prepare since then to get on the stand. He decided not to testify in his own defense at trial, but we really thought he was going to speak at sentencing. It would have been his opportunity to express remorse, as the family and the prosecutor said he had not done. But he just, maybe he got so emotional that he just decided, can't do it.
WSB legal reporter Veronica Waters live on this breaking news. Chip Olson, former DeKalb County police officer, sentenced today. You heard it on WSB Radio. 20 years with 12 to serve in prison for shooting and killing naked, unarmed Anthony Hill back in March of 2015. Veronica, thank you. We'll look forward to hearing you at the news again at 6:30. Always a pleasure, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
Your thoughts on the sentence? 20 years, 12 to serve, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet your reaction to me at Mark Arum, M-A-R-K-A-R-U-M. It's the Friday edition of the Mark Arum Show, 95.5 WSB. Chip Olson, sentenced to 20 years, 12 to serve. You just heard from Veronica Waters, who's live in the courtroom. Your thoughts on that verdict. Larry's in Jasper. Larry, what do you think about 20 years, 12 to serve, my friend?
I feel like I'm missing something. When this case made the news, I thought that I remembered the story going that he was called out and this guy was threatening and the guy charged him.
Well,
that's
not 100% accurate. So he was dispatched. The police officer, Chip Olson, was dispatched to a mentally ill person call, a signal 22, they call it in DeKalb County. He went out because there was a naked man. Anthony Hill was walking around this apartment complex. When he got there, I don't know if he was threatening or not, but he was heading toward the DeKalb County police officer, and witnesses say he was like, oh, the police are here. They're my friends. And on his way, obviously the DeKalb officer thought he was being threatened and shot and killed him. That's the way I know the story. We know the verdict. We know the sentence. Your thought, 20 years, 12 to serve. Jay Black joins us next as well, live from Jacksonville. This is the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, this is Lois Griffin, and you are listening to the Mark Arum Show.
Kick it! 639, 53 degrees on Peachtree Street, 2.5 on the Mark Arum Show back sweat meter. Going to have some fun at 7. Got some fun stories to talk about. I'll continue to take your calls about today's breaking news, the verdict in the Robert Chip Olson case. Former DeKalb police officer sentenced to 20 years, 12 to serve for the shooting of an unarmed veteran in March of 2015. Your thoughts and reactions to that sentencing today, you heard here live on WSB Radio. But we're getting primed for the big game tomorrow in Jacksonville, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. No one covers a cocktail party like WSB sports director Jay Black, who joins us live from Jacksonville, probably in the landing right now with one of those big margaritas. How are you, Jay Bird?
Since I'm filling in for Johnny Kilbasa, I do have a Jacksonville fast food review if we need it tonight.
Well, you better lead off with that, my friend. Do we need the fast food sounder first? Let's do the fast food sounder, Johnny Kilbasa.
And now, on the Mark Arum Show, it's time for the fast food review.
Joining us live, wearing khaki pants and a collared shirt.
The shirt is white.
Jay Black. Live from Jacksonville with a fast food review. What do we got, Jay Bird?
The restaurant is called PDQ. It's like a local chicken chain.
Okay.
And the sandwich I had today was a generous helping of a chicken patty, so to speak. Very thick. With
it's called a chicken breast, probably.
Chicken breast, yeah. Chicken patty. Chicken breast. The chicken was plentiful, wedged in between pimento cheese.
Ooh.
bacon, and lettuce on a ciabatta bun. It was a 9.5 on the Jay Black chicken meter.
Is that the first time in your life you've ever said a ciabatta?
On the radio, yeah.
All right, there you go. So good for Jay Black breaking his ciabatta virginity here live on the Mark Arum Show.
It was fantastic.
Well, that's a nice base because this is a long, big weekend. Dogs tomorrow taking on hated Gators in Florida. What time's our coverage start, Jay Bird?
We'll get things going at 11:30 tomorrow morning with Dog Talk pregame. Tailgate show 12:30 with Neil Williamson, Lauren Smith, and then Eric Zier and Scott Howard will kick things off at 3:39 from TIAA Bank Field Stadium, whatever they call it over
Gator
there.
Bowl. Yeah. I talked to you yesterday when I was filling for Von Hessler. I'm shocked that the Bulldogs are favored in this game. Is that just me being the pessimistic Bulldog fan that I am, that we struggle in Jacksonville all the time?
I thought it might be a point or two. The six kind of got my attention, or the 6.5. That was a little higher than I thought it would be. I think that is giving the Dogs plenty of respect, knowing that this team should be a national title contender, had a serious stumble against South Carolina, but there's confidence that they can fix what was broken, turn it around, and be ready to go for the Gators with a week off.
WSB Radio Sports Director Jay Black joining us live from Jacksonville, Florida. Dog Nation there in mass yet, or are they late arriving crowd right now?
Oh, yeah. They were here, wound up, ready to go, went down to RV City last night, which is one of the most unique places you can ever go for a football game, and it was quite packed. I was surprised, though, that it was maybe toned down just a little bit, especially on Halloween.
Yeah.
That kind of got my attention. But, oh, yeah, they are here. The landing is not here anymore, though, so that's new. The Jacksonville landing got torn down, so that was one of the big hot spots. Everybody's had to adjust to that. They've kind of relocated things. They added a Georgia-Florida baseball game, an exhibition at the minor league park to kind of spice things up a little bit.
We got to – Chuck, I want you to weigh in on this. So our governor – has a bet with Florida's governor. So Brian Kemp made a bet with Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida on this game, okay?
Okay?
And I think they've got this backwards. So according to Brian Kemp, you know what? Can I play some audio here, Longoria? Let me play what Brian Kemp tweeted out here.
Governor Kemp here. I was talking to Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida a couple of days ago about the big game in Jacksonville this weekend, the Georgia-Florida game. I think the Dogs are going to win the third in a row in this long series that has such great tradition. He disagreed with me, so we put a little wager on the game. If the Gators somehow prevail, I've agreed to go down to the Everglades and go python hunting to help Ron with the big problem they have in their state. When the Dogs win, like I think they will, I'm going to bring him up to South Georgia. We're going to go feral hog hunting after some of those hogs that are destroying our South Georgia farmers.
So my Chuck, shouldn't that be reversed? Like, shouldn't the loser have to host the winner to hunt, like on a hunting trip?
Yeah.
Like if Florida loses, I would think that Florida's governor would be like, all right, come down, hunting trip on me. We'll go hunt pythons.
But they want to. I think they want to make it about their state. So if Georgia wins, Georgia gets to make it about their state and drag the Florida governor up here. If Florida wins, they get to make it about their state and they'll drag the Georgia governor down there.
Yeah. I have no analysis of python or hog hunting.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, would you rather hunt python or hog?
Ooh, I mean, I love hog hunting.
But
I've never hunted pythons.
Right?
Before.
Yeah.
I think I might have to do that.
But hogs taste better.
I've never had a python.
Yeah.
Do you know why there's even
pythons in Florida?
Because people let them go.
Yeah. People just buy them as pets. They get too big and they let them go. Yeah. That's our sports analysis right there. Jay Black joining us live from Jacksonville. Jay, give me a quick prediction before we let you go.
I'm 55% confident that Georgia wins, which is not very high. I think these two teams are very evenly matched. You really can't judge anything when you go into this game. But I do think Georgia's better.
There you go. Jay Black calls it 55-0. He predicts a Georgia victory here on the Home of the Dogs. All our coverage starts at 12:30. Have fun tonight, Jay Bird. Don't go python hunting.
Got it.
All right. Jay Black live in Jacksonville. More of your calls and does Alex Williams know this food next on the Mark Arum Show. 404-872-0751 800 WSB Talk. Still covering the breaking news you heard here live on WSB Radio. Former police officer Robert Chip Olson sentenced today to 20 years in prison with 12 to serve for the shooting and killing of a naked, unarmed military veteran back in March of 2015. Your thoughts on the sentence at 404-872-0750 1-800-WSB-TALK. Don's in Snellville, Georgia. Don, welcome to the program.
How are you doing?
What's going on, Don?
Oh, I have been a long, long time fan of the dogs. Now, go back to the Spurrier era. We always got our backsides handed
yes,
to us because he always ran up the scores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Rick came in, well, even before then, I can't say about Donnan, but when Rick came in, if you'll remember, it didn't matter whether Georgia was 12 or Florida was 15. It was always maybe 1 or 3 points difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go down there, they put all bets off.
That's it.
At least. And I don't care if it's 1 point or 3 points, as long as we win.
A win is a win. So what do you think? Are you confident about a victory tomorrow?
I'm going to say it's going to be in the 3 to 6 points.
There you go. Don in Snellville setting the line. I think the key for Georgia, as it should have been the key in the South Carolina game, is just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And you set up successful run game, Longoria. You know this. You're a big football guy.
Yeah.
You're a former offensive lineman.
Yeah.
The big hogs
sure.
up front. You run the ball successfully, you're mm-hmm. able to pass more easily. That's the way I think it should go. Rhonda joins us in Jackson. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I am blessed. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm making my way back up to Dalton, driving through. So
bless your heart.
Yes, say a prayer. Does anybody have any information about some news that The Rock has built a farm in Powder Springs?
Yeah, well, that's not exactly the story. So The Rock, Chuck, you like this because you're a big fan of The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He bought a mansion on farmland. He didn't buy it. I mean, he didn't build it. He bought it for $9.5 million. I think the breaking news there is there's a $9.5 million home in Powder Springs. Like, I've been to Powder Springs a lot. I've never seen a $9.5 million home. But that's
sitting on a farm, too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Apparently, it's a lawyer had owned it and had it for sale. Maybe it was Phil Holloway that owned it. I don't know. Mm. But, yeah, so The Rock is going to have a huge mansion, 8-bedroom, 9-bath, a lot of stone. In the house, Chuck, a lot of stone.
More baths than bedrooms. That's interesting.
Well, that's a guy, man, after my own heart. Yeah, yeah. I need more bathrooms than bedrooms as well. But apparently it's a lovely farm home mansion type of thing in Powder Springs.
Type of thing, yeah.
And it's only 30 minutes from the airport. So I guess that's important for those, for the Hollywood elite types to be able to jet off to Hollywood or the south of France or whatever. But, yeah, that's the deal, Rhonda.
Well, I was just wondering if maybe that's going to increase the film industry with him being located here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the more things that are filmed in Hollywood, the more people are going to set up roots here, you know, instead of just renting all the time. You buy a place. I mean, listen, they can afford it. The Rock makes, I don't know, $150 million a year.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not staying here like 24/7.
He's doing fine. He's
an Atlanta
home. Was sick of the Residence Inn. He's like, you know what? you're staying with Russ in Gainesville. He's like, I can't commute from Gainesville all the time. We'll get to Russ in a second. Alex Williams, ready to play. Does Alex Williams know this food?
Yeah, man.
Does Alex Williams know this food?
Does Alex Williams know this food?
Does Alex Williams know this food?
That boy don't know what that is!
Alex Williams, a valued, for the most part, member of Triple Team Traffic on the days he's here and focused. But he's a great guy. He just does not have much food knowledge. So we ask Alex Williams a different food item once in a while to see if he knows it. I have confidence you're going to get this one. You ready, little guy?
All right, let's do it.
All right. Today is National Calzone Day. What is a calzone, Alex Williams?
It's like a pizza, but it's kind of more like a pie, like a sandwich pie kind of thing. I don't know how to describe it.
Sandwich pie. I'll take a sandwich pie. Yeah, it's
oh, good for you.
I'll take that. It's basically a pizza turned inside out. You know,
sure.
You flip it over.
Yeah.
It's not made like that, though. It's
It looks like a big empanada, but with
pizza.
Yes.
Exactly. So today, happy National Calzone Day to Alex Williams. Alex Williams didn't know that food.
He did.
Good job, little guy.
Thanks, guys.
I even tried to throw him off with the Italian pronunciation.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't say calzone.
Right. You would think he would get that, too.
Yeah. But I try to make it harder with calzone. Christopher's incoming. Christopher, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
What's going on, brother?
Good, and congratulations to my good friend Alex for getting that. I figured he would get that.
Calzone.
Yeah, no, I've known Alex for like almost 20 years.
He's an awesome dude. I love the guy.
He is. Listen, you asked about why there are pythons down there in Florida. back during Hurricane Andrew, there was a reptile breeding facility that got demolished down there. And there were like thousands or tens of thousands of snakes and iguanas and other exotic lizards that got out. And they live in South Florida. And what a perfect climate for those things in which to thrive.
So, absolutely.
And they have no natural, yeah, they have no natural predators down there. So they're taking out alligators and panthers and everything else down there.
Yeah, here. They're killing the natural residents, the habitat there. I watched this amazing, and if you guys have Xfinity On Demand, you can search this. I think it was on Nova or American Experience, a documentary about turn of last century, how they went in and tried to kill the Everglades for development and how it backfired. They tried to get all the water. Oh, it's crazy. But the Everglades are a funky, funky place. We should go down there, Chuck. I'll hunt pythons with you.
Let's do it.
We'll go. Me, you, and the governor will go down.
Absolutely.
And Erickson. Bring Erickson, too. He'll bake for us.
For it.
Yeah. He'll bake for us while we're hunting. When we come back, more of your calls and Russ in Gainesville. Plus, we got some fun stories to talk about finally. 404-872-0750. This is The Mark Arum Show.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
No, I want this town to be near you.
Welcome back to the show and a good Friday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. My whole family now joins me. Deb Green was MIA for the first hour, filling in on our sister station, 97.1 The River. She's the executive producer of the program, Longoria, the stoic Eskimo on the other side of the takeout window. Low-T Chuck screens your calls.
Low-T.
We're going to have some fun tonight, by the way. We hit the hard news coming out of the gate with the Chip Olson sentencing. Now we're going to have some fun. This story blew my mind. I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but we only had an hour. You guys have heard of Magic City?
Yeah.
It's probably now the most famous gentleman's club in Atlanta.
Okay.
It used to be the Gold Club back in the day. You heard of it, Chuck? Magic City?
Magic City used to be Gold Club, or Gold Club used to be the most popular?
When Gold Club was around, it used to be the most popular.
Gotcha.
It's no longer around.
Gotcha.
There was the infamous Gold Club trial. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Magic City is probably the premier nightclub now, downtown Atlanta. And full disclosure, I have been there once. Many, many years ago, my buddy took me there, and it was an experience unlike any other. It was crazy.
I can imagine.
Like, think of, you know, the Pink Pony or Tattletale.
Right, right.
It's nothing like that.
It's completely
Do they have strip clubs in Montana?
Of course.
Do they drive
80 miles to find one, but they're
there. Do they fly women in?
Nah, there's girls that go on traveling circuits.
Oh, okay.
And so they'll
horse and carriage traveling circuits.
We got a lot of them from Seattle.
Horse and carriage. No, that's right.
From Seattle.
Because when I went to school in Poughkeepsie, New York, there was a club called Smiles, and there were girls that would come and they would travel.
Yep.
None of them came from
about every 3 weeks.
Whitefish,
yeah.
Interesting. All right. So the reason I bring this up, Deb Green found this story. The shoe models at this gentleman's club, just in case there's kids listening, can make upwards of $8,000 to $10,000 a night.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
$8,000 to $10,000. Dollars
wow.
a night.
And just tips.
And just tips. I don't think they're getting hour. I don't think they're getting
What do they get, an hourly
an hour.
Rate?
Yeah.
What do they get, 213?
I think it's all
wages?
Contract work. Yeah. Average night, $2,000.
Yeah. They're all going to med school, though.
That is true. Money. But some on the big nights, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 hours for them after their shift ends just to count the tips.
Yeah.
The problem is, and this is what this, there's a documentary coming out about this. These girls are making $100,000 a year. But they're not saving anything because they come from
a party.
Well, I mean, I'm not judging because, you know, most of these girls are young, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, they're right out of high school.
Out of high school. They come from poor backgrounds where that kind of money was non-existent, right? And if you grew up in poor conditions and all of a sudden you're making $2,000 a night, you have no background on how to manage your finances. And
this
one of these girls says, after working there a week, she's like, I realize I can eat lobster every night of the week. So that's what they do.
I like how that was her thought.
Yeah.
I can get a really nice house.
Right. I can relate to that, though.
I'm not even 16. I can eat lobster every day.
Not even 16. I can relate to that, though, because when I first started making here, I was making peanuts. And then slowly built up. And then I got, once I started doing TV full time, I got a nice bump. And it was like, I can, for the first time in my life, I can order anything off the menu. You know, I was so ingrained to be like,
What's the cost?
Yeah, like, what am I going to get here? That was just the way I was raised. Like, my mom would be like, all right, anything $5 and under you can get off the menu. I'll get the cheeseburger, you know. And then to the rate, it made, I got to the point where the prices on the menu still mattered. But I had the realization, like, oh, I don't have to just look at the chicken. I can look at the steaks now. I can look at the seafoods now.
Bison steaks.
Bison steak. I can buy a bison steak for Longoria.
Yeah, there you go.
I relate to them not being able, I mean, because if you're not taught how to be responsible with your money, it's
you're not going to be.
You're not going to be. And we see that with athletes, too. And at their age, I mean, if when I was 20 and if you were giving me $2,000 a day, forget it. Yeah. I would have been. So, but that blew my mind. $8,000 to $10,000 on a good night, Longoria. We need to get in shape.
I should have never quit dancing.
Yeah, exactly, Deb Green.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on that. But here's how I want to tackle the subject. Was there a point in your life where you got money for a job that you were just like blown away? Like, oh my God, like I can't believe I just got this much money. For me, I was in high school and my buddy Aaron Lefkowski, Low House we called him, called me up. He's like, hey, do you do anything? It was like a Saturday afternoon. He's like, you doing anything? I'm like, no. He goes, you have a suit? I'm like, yeah. He goes, all right, put on a suit and meet me at Driscoll's funeral home. I was like, what? Like, who died? He goes, no. They need a couple of people to help out for a funeral. So I went down there, put on a suit, literally did nothing. Like, directed people, I just stood there looking handsome in my blue suit and said, hey, the Jenkins funeral is to the left. The O'Reilly funeral is to the left, whatever. And I was there for maybe an hour and a half. And the mortuarian, that's how I pronounce it? Mortuarian?
Sure.
Mortician,
yeah. Gave me a $100 bill. And I was like, holy. I was like, I'm going to become this guy. I want to be. So that's the one case in my life where I was just blown away by doing a job and getting so much money for it. Do you have any similar situations like that, Longoria, in your life?
Probably the first time I got full time, like in radio.
Yeah.
You know, I'd had little jobs here and there, sure. But I'd never made like a salary of any sort.
You got that first big paycheck.
Like, and I can go buy anything now.
What about you, Chuck, working construction? Was there
I was just going to say the very first job that I bid out by myself when I got to be an independent contractor and that first huge paycheck came in and I realized that I had paid all the materials. I had no overhead. Like, this was all my money.
Yeah.
I sat and stared at that check for like 3 days before I deposited it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I could go buy a truck with this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I went wild, you know, it was crazy. I'd never seen that amount of money before, let alone thought that, oh, now I don't have to, I can I can get the more expensive cable package
now?
Like, that was what I thought. Yeah.
You can eat lobster every day.
Yeah.
One other thing, when I first started waiting tables in college, I'll remember this vividly. It was an older couple came in, and I'll remember the order for the rest of my life. The woman had chicken franchise, which is like a chicken lemon sauce kind of thing. And the guy, she ordered for the guy. She's like, he wants the broiled sole, no butter, with broccoli, no butter. Like, apparently, like, he was on a strict bubble. So their check was like $25, and they left me 100% tip, like $25 on a $25 bill. I was like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. And they would come in like once a month, and I would be like, that's my table. I've got them. That's me. Mm-hmm. It was so any stories like that where you thought it was like life changing kind of money for something you did, because that's what that is for these girls, and they're girls, let's be honest. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Russ joins us in Gainesville, Georgia. Russ, welcome to the show.
Come here a minute. I want to talk to you.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mark. Hey, I just found out something really cool about my new girlfriend. If I could share it with you, it's just really neat. I'm so happy.
I would love to hear this.
I said, hey, the day I met you on the square, she goes, you didn't meet me on the square. You met me on Valentine's Day when you gave me that candy. I was like, what? See, on Valentine's Day, I didn't have a girlfriend, and I bought a big box of candy, and I thought, well, I'll give this to somebody, but I don't know who. Who will I give it to? Well, I was walking by this restaurant, and there was a pretty girl sitting there in front of this restaurant, and I walked by her, and I turned back around and said, she's the one. And I gave that box of candy to that girl, and I said, you're my Valentine, and I walked away. And I didn't know it, and it's her.
It's her. The girl I got now that is so cool.
And you're calling her. The breaking news of this whole call is you're actually referring to her as your girlfriend now.
Yes, she's my girl. I hope she's my girlfriend. I've been with her. How long have we been together? Like 4 or 5 days now?
That's an eternity in the life of Russ.
Yeah, that is.
That's like 7 years.
Well, I can't believe she's the one
like
I gave the candy to. That's so cool.
That's awesome. And what's her name again? Joy?
Joanne is her proper name. We call her Joy.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, four days and going strong, Russ, in Gainesville. I'm very proud of you, my friend. And it's going to be chilly
Thank
tonight,
you.
So you keep her nice and warm. Okay, buddy?
Oh, yeah. We're going to this, like, Lynyrd Skynyrd concert thing down the road here because she likes them.
Is it a cover band?
Yeah, cover band. She's 30 years old. She loves Lynyrd Skynyrd, so there's a cover
30?
Band.
30?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness, Russ.
Tell her it's the real Lynyrd Skynyrd and not
Yeah,
cover
she won't
band.
Even know
she
it's a cover know. Band. She'll
it's
think
the
it's
the real Lynyrd Skynyrd.
All right, Russ, well, enjoy your weekend, buddy. Very happy for you.
Thank you, Mark.
Russ in a full-time, committed, long-term relationship.
Wow, 4 days.
Longoria. Yeah. That's impressive. Can you think of someone that's lasted 4 consecutive days with Russ before?
4 days?
Yeah.
No, I know they come on and off, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's 2 days, and he finds someone else, and then maybe another 2 days.
He's literally like a human sheep herder. You know, he's just wandering the hills, trying to get the sheep back in line.
He doesn't
line.
Even remember who he's giving
yeah,
stuff
he doesn't,
to.
There's so many sheep, you know, yeah. unless you got them tagged.
Like, I gave you candy when?
Yeah,
he doesn't even remember that.
That's just Johnny Appleseed throwing out Valentine's Day candy, hoping something sticks. Russ's neighbor Daniel in Gainesville joins us on the show. Daniel, are you familiar with Russ in Gainesville?
I am not, but I would like to say at my age, he's 4 days. I'm glad to last 4 minutes. Anyway,
Amen, sir.
That's the way it is. Hey, but look, great show. Mark Aram's great show. Catch it every day here at WSB almost every day. Would be a far lesser community without WSB.
Thank you, sir.
I mean that. But I'd like to touch on this Olsen situation if I could.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a veteran. And I have law enforcement and family, and so I'm kind of a split thing on the emotion around this thing. This is tragedy in all regards, absolute tragedy in all regards of the situation. But here's the thing is, I don't see anything with the conviction of this Officer Olson where he with ill intent shot this guy, whether it's mistake or error. Again, it's tragedy on all parts, but I would have that entire jury deadlocked forever had I been on it.
On the murder charges. They did not come to an agreement on the murder charges. That's why he was acquitted on those. So this is it's a very difficult case. And I'm like you, Daniel, I got a lot of friends and family that are in law enforcement, and I've been asking them about this. Even guys that I went to college with that are not in Georgia that are, you know, law enforcement in Virginia and New York and Connecticut. And to a man, I don't think I have any female law enforcement friends I went to college with, but to a man, they've all said, well, you know, we're trained to handle that situation better than that officer did. For example, one of them told me, if that was me, you're trained to use your baton at that as a first, you know, method of removal of the situation. If he was coming at him, you could easily, got him away or subdued with a baton. That's why you also have a taser. You have other things at your disposal. They're not, you know, burying the DeKalb police officer, but they were saying they would have handled it differently. They've been in those situations where you don't need to pull your gun as the first option.
Without question, he blew it. It's huge error. And on both sides of that thing, we have a veteran that's dead. We have a law enforcement officer going to prison. And I'm a Blue Lives Matter kind of guy.
Sure, sure.
All the way down the center line.
The really sad part of this, though, Daniel, and because he was a veteran and he loved law enforcement. So when the police arrived, he was excited. He's like, because he was off his meds, you know, he was bipolar. He's off his meds. And he was happy that the police were there. He's like, oh, the police are my friends. They'll help me. That's what makes it so sad. But I can see, you know, a naked guy running at you. That can be threatening. Sure. It's just a tough situation. Tough situation all around. Rest in peace to the deceased. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll be right back with more of your calls, Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show.
Mark Arum
on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
404-872-0751, 800-WSB-TALK. Be nice to Chuck when you call in today. His favorite presidential candidate, Beto O'Rourke, dropped out today. So Chuck's a little sensitive.
Heartbroken.
He's a little sensitive today, so be nice to him. Joe's in Stockbridge, Georgia. Joe, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
What's going on, Joe?
Oh, man, I love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
My question was, not a question, a statement. Officer Olson, have you ever been to a gun range and did target practice?
I'm assuming he went through some sort of firearm training to get in the academy. He started late as a police officer. He joined the force at 42, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, have you ever went to a gun range?
Yes.
And practice? Okay, what do you see in front of you? You just see the
target
part of your body.
Yeah. Shoot to kill.
You're not trained to shoot people in the legs, whatever. I think if they take a little bit of time to do that, it's just a tragedy all the way around.
So you think they should be trained not to shoot to kill is what? Like shoot them in the kneecap first.
All the way around. You're trained to take somebody down.
Yeah.
Or if it's a situation where your life is truly threatened, yeah, it's time to shoot them. But if you got another way to go about doing it, I'm not talking about a taser. Everybody say their react is different in that situation, but that's a lie because you're not in that situation, so you don't know how you would react.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I'm just glad I will never be, hopefully never be in that situation. But again, most of my friends that are police officers said that's not the first thing you go to. You go to the baton first. You go to the taser second, mace, sometimes you have it. The first thing shouldn't be, especially when you know the call came in as a demented person. So you know going in that this person's, you know, got issues. Larry's in Powder Springs. What's going on, Larry?
How you doing, sir?
Excellent. What's going on?
Love your show, Mark.
Thanks, Larry.
You guys always make me laugh. I know where The Rock is going to live.
Is it off of Macklin Road?
It's off of Lost Mountain Road.
Okay.
Near Macklin Road.
Okay, yeah. I thought that might be.
If I give you the actual road, he might be swamped with visitors.
Yeah, no. I don't want you to do that. Listen, I think it's pretty cool.
It is an awesome place, but the story is...
Well, can you hang on, Larry?
When this was originally built...
Larry, hang on through the news because I want to hear that story, okay? Okay, Mark. Larry's going to tell us the story about The Rock's new house. We're talking about shoe models... And how much time do you waste in a day? That's coming up next on The Mark Arum Show.
This is Henry Winkler. How are you? And you're listening to The Mark Arum Show. How lucky are you?
He packed in the animals 2x2. Ox, a camel, and a kangaroo. Packed him in that ox so tight. I couldn't get no sleep that night. Roll the dust. Tell me about that master plan. Oh, my love.
736, 50 degrees and drop it on good old Peachtree Street. Mark Arum and the Bananas at your beck and call till 8 in the p.m. Yesterday was Halloween, so Low T and Longo were off yesterday trick-or-treating with the kids. How did that go, Longoria?
It was good, but it was cold.
It was cold, but it was not raining, though.
That was the best part.
And the girls dressed as Rapunzel and...
Evie from The Descendants 3. It's a Disney movie.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, but you guys, they had a good time?
Oh, yeah,
a lot of candy?
Yeah, lots.
Any bad candy? Was any bad neighbors that gave you raisins or anything?
No. One little Starbucks had glitter on it, and my daughter was like, oh, it's bad. Like, she thought like they tampered with it.
Oh,
like,
it's bad.
Yeah, it's got glitter on it.
Yeah. Sounds like an 80-year-old woman.
Yeah,
What about you, Chuckles? How was the trick-or-treat?
It was good. Elle's got cold fast. But she made, I don't know, half dozen houses all by herself, walked up and mumbled trick-or-treat, thank you.
What was she dressed as?
She was a little spider, and Jennifer was a Orkin man, and I was a spider web.
A little spider.
Yeah.
All right.
She's cute.
So I made fun of the urban myth that razors and candies. It actually happened in my home state of Connecticut.
Oh, really?
In Crap Fest that is known as Waterbury. Waterbury police said the brass city, by the way, is Waterbury. They made an arrest after razor blades were found in candy bags on Halloween. 37-year-old Jason Raz of Waterbury was arrested and charged with risk of injury to a minor, reckless endangerment, and interfering with a police officer. Police received two separate incredible reports of razor blades found in candy bags at around 7 p.m. The blades were loose in the bags, so no reports of candy of blades being in the candy. So I don't know. The guy just.
So it's like they were trick or treating and he threw them in with the candy?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, he wasn't
like.
Yeah, like
it's not reaching like it was, around. Maybe you.
He was a lazy, crazy man. Instead of putting them in.
Yeah, he didn't even put them in the candy.
No, he just threw them loose into the bag.
Well, that's not how it works.
Moron. So I apparently that is still a thing. So be careful next Thanksgiving. Halloween.
You were calling it Thanksgiving.
Every day.
I'm just waiting for Thanksgiving.
I'm so waiting for Thanksgiving. Exactly right.
Got another month.
All right, so Larry was going to tell us about The Rock's new home in Powder Springs. Larry, thanks for hanging on through the news, buddy.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's been very interesting listening to everything while I was on break here.
That's what we do.
But last night, we had wonderful children come through our neighborhood for Halloween, and the parents were there. There were groups of kids. Now, let's get back to The Rock.
Yes,
here.
The Rock's
Originally, yes. The scuttlebutt was that this home was being built by Paul Newman for his lovely wife. And so you can tell how old, because Paul Newman has been passed for, what, 6, 7, 8 years?
Quite a long
time. Something like that.
Yes.
But anyway, the property is absolutely beautiful. The horse barn, most people could live in. It is off of Lost Mountain Road near Macklin in Powder Springs. And the original builder, the story is that it was built by Paul Newman. And then it came to be that it was a Paul Newman that was a high-powered criminal attorney in the Atlanta metro area that actually built it for his wife.
So it was not Paul Newman. Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up, Larry. Mike is up next on the Mark Arum Show. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Mark, what's going on? I was calling to talk to you about the shoe models.
Yes. $8,000 to $10,000 a night on some nights. That's amazing.
Well, you know, the honest thing is I work in the shoe model industry as I've been doing it for almost 20 years. Those numbers are a tad misleading. There's a small percentage of girls who make $8,000 to $10,000 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 or 4 girls in a night, or maybe 10%, 15% of all the girls that work in a club make that kind of money.
Okay.
But the vast majority are probably pulling down, you know, $50,000 a year. And then there's, of course, a good chunk that are making, you know, $150, $200 a night.
Yeah.
So
day shift. We call that day shift.
No, I'm talking
about the C squad.
The C squad. So according to this thing, and I guess it's they're going to do a documentary on this.
Yeah, it actually looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, it does. The average girl would make $1,000 to $1,500. The better girls would make $2,000 to $3,000. And on the rare, not every night, but on a rare night, they'd make $8,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, on a rare night, $8,000 to $10,000 is not out of question. And not, especially some of the bigger clubs like Magic City, Pony, Cheetah, those kinds of places. That's completely realistic. But,
yeah.
You know, those numbers give people a lot of false hope. Take it from me, we get a lot of girls coming in, and they think, okay, I'm making $4,000 tonight. Here we go. And I'm like, no, baby, you might make $100 a day if you're not careful. So
that's still okay. I could live on $100 a day. I don't think I would make that if I was a shoe model, but... interesting. From shoe models to Brittany from Access Atlanta on what's going on in town this weekend. Joining us on the program, as she does every Friday, from our partners at Access Atlanta, it's Brittany Tendenbaum. How are you, Britt?
I am great. How are you?
I am exhausted.
I know, you're tired.
I'm
you had
so
a long
tired.
Day yesterday.
Yesterday was the worst. I mean, I'm glad I had fun.
Right.
Halloween was great. Everyone here on the radio side of things dressed up in amazing costumes. It was really, really cool. But
what was the best? I didn't come down here, so I didn't see anything.
DeMarco was Little John. He killed it. He looked awesome. But everyone had really good costumes. I didn't dress up. I just wore the orange tie on TV, but it was fun.
All right, I saw that. That looked good.
Yes. So I'm gonna be sleeping much of the weekend. But if I were to go out and about, there's a ton of stuff going on this weekend.
Correct. So if you want to brave the cold, it's not going to be as chilly as it is this morning, I don't believe. I think we're in like the 40s and 50s tomorrow.
I can deal with that.
So Chastain Park Fall Arts Festival is going down. There's tons of food trucks and beer, wine, lots of arts and crafts to purchase, a kid zone, and a lot more to do. Admission for that is free. That's going down on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
You can check that out if you have a jacket and you want to be cold. Also, if you want to be cold, there is the Chomp and Stomp. Now, this is a pretty famous Chili Fest and Bluegrass Festival. So they're going to have live music and an artist market, great food, drinks, and, of course, a chili cook-off. Tickets for the chili tasting are $10. Just make sure there's a bathroom nearby.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been before. There are ample porta-potties available for...
Okay, there you go.
Yes, for your use.
Oh, and they should make, like, a VIP bathroom line.
They might have one.
Really?
Yeah, I think... I remember I didn't go in the regular porta-potty. There was, like, a fancier one that I
Got
went
it.
To.
I would want someone, like, outside, like, cleaning, you know, going inside, just
Every
making
time.
Sure...
Absolutely.
Exactly. That would be worth the extra $10 ban for me. And then what else do we got? We got the Taste and Brews Country Fest, which is going down in Canton. And that is on Saturday and Sunday, too. They're going to have tons of good Southern food and brews.
Wow.
And they're going to have an artist market, live music, a kid zone. Admission to that is free as well.
Kid zones are big. Everyone's got a kid zone.
I know. I mean, the adults want to drink, and they want their kids to have
so
something to do.
Just drop your kid off in the corral.
Yeah, like go on that bouncy house. Like,
Fantastic.
Knock yourself out for an hour.
All right. Kid zone. I got it.
Exactly. And then Sandy Springs Wine, not Wine Week, Sandy Springs Restaurant Week is happening through the 9th of November.
Everyone keeps talking about a sushi place in Sandy Springs. Have you heard?
District M?
I think that might be it. Have you been
there
yet?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
I'll tell you what's really good, though, is Fudo.
Okay.
It's a place in Chambly. It's right around the corner from where we live, and it is so good.
Really?
I mean, it is...
F-U-T-O?
It's not like F-U-D-O.
Fudo, okay.
Fudo. And we went there for my mom's birthday on Monday night, and it's just consistently great sushi. They do a really good job.
The problem is there's so many good restaurants in Chambly that it's like if you don't know where to go, you'll miss it. So,
but if you want sushi, this is the place to go. It's extremely reasonable. It's a really good, they have a great patio. It's just like a really cool environment, a great bar. And tell me when you want to go because I'll have the hookup for
you
guys to go out there. And, get your sashimi on.
Excellent.
And then if you don't want to be outside, which there are people that do not want to brave the cold, you can go to the Painted Duck. So we went over there in Midtown.
I've heard of that place.
It's pretty cool. So they opened the Painted Pin in Buckhead. Miami Circle.
Yeah, I've been there.
Buckhead. And that's regular bowling.
Yeah.
So then they opened the Painted Duck, which is duck pin bowling.
Okay.
And I got a whole lesson in what the difference.
It's so hard. Duck pin bowling
is so hard. I thought it was going to be, you know, I'm like a pretty good bowler.
Yeah.
I don't like do it regularly.
You know what's harder than that? I don't know if you've ever heard of candlestick bowling.
No.
That's big in, like, New England, candlestick bowl. It's, like, literally the pins are as thin as a candlestick.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Like, if you get, like, a 60 for a score, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, duck pin was, like...
It's fun.
...hard for me, but the best thing about Painted Duck is that they have all these really cool other social pub games that are popular in England and all these other places. So Justin Amick is the... founder of both the Pin and the Duck, and we interviewed him, and he showed me all their different, you know, games that they have. It's a huge place.
I gotta check. You know, maybe we can do my show there live.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Oh my god, he would love it.
All right,
and they have a little secret karaoke room. Maybe we can.
I'm not gonna do karaoke. Although this morning I did sing on Channel 2, "Baby It's Cold Outside."
Baby, it's cold outside.
Real quick, Britt. Back to Halloween. Did you dress up?
So I didn't. I wore like a ski hat because it was cold outside and it had been a minute since I actually had to do the rounds for trick-or-treating. And we went to a pretty cool neighborhood with pretty big houses. So it was like, it was kind of like an obstacle course, like going
long
up.
Long driveways,
hills. I mean, you really had to work for those Reese's, you know? I mean, Brody, he was coming down. He was like out of breath and was like, next house, let's get it.
Yeah.
And we always took pillowcases.
That's what I did as a kid, too.
Yeah. That's the best. It's the only way to go because it can carry everything. It's durable. But yeah, it was a fun but cold, you know, Halloween night.
You brought up big houses. The Rock bought a big house in Powder Springs. Did you see that story?
Oh, really?
Because
he's doing so many movies here?
Yeah. It's like a $9.5 million mansion in Powder Springs. Check out the story. It's on, I think it's on WSBTV.com.
We need Dwayne to come in studio and be a guest on the Arum Show.
But apparently it's only 30 minutes from the airport, so it's perfect for a celebrity that's got to fly in and out, et cetera.
And that's probably why he bought it. You know?
Next year, we'll go trick-or-treating at the Rock's house.
Yeah, we'll go to Powder Springs. It's going down at the Rock's house in Powder Springs, baby.
With a pillowcase. Brittany, all this stuff's available on WSBTV.com. Tell us how we can find out more about Access Atlanta and you social media.
On the social medias, we are at Access ATL on Instagram. I'm at Britt Elise. You can watch the full Access Atlanta show on our WSB Now stream. And that's on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon, Fire Stick. What am I missing?
Roku, you said?
Roku, yeah. Amazon.
All of the good stuff.
All of the streaming places. And actually, our weekend events is going to be, I believe, on air tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Oh, excellent. I'm not getting up that early, but
on the
other
TVs.
Folks might.
You won't get up at 7 a.m. for me?
Not on a Saturday. I'll set my DVR.
You. I don't blame you. My all mom right. said she would, and I'm like, you're a good mom.
This is Tenenbaum.
Yes.
Tenenbaum.
Deb, I should bring her in here.
Please,
she
absolutely.
Some good stories.
Absolutely. Or we'll just have sushi at Fudo.
Yeah, there you
in
go.
In Chamblee.
Yeah.
Britt, have a great weekend,
you
buddy.
You too.
Brittany Tenenbaum from Access Atlanta. A lot of fun stuff going on this weekend. Shlongoria, if you you going to have plans this weekend? You got anything?
We're just going to lay low this weekend.
Yeah, me too. A lot of sleeping, a lot of eating.
Yeah, I'm just going to, and a lot of candy.
I'm going to, you know what? I think I'm done with candy.
Really?
I ate so much of it yesterday and today.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I think I'm done.
Just take a break.
That is
breaking
great.
News right yeah. there.
That is Hector.
But I did, so there's so much candy in the newsroom this morning, and I ate a lot of it, but I also grabbed a lot. I pulled a Hubbard, and but it was up for grabs.
You just took one, though, right? Just like Hubbard?
Yeah, just took one piece. No, I took like six Reese's peanut butter cups home for later, a later date. We got one segment to go, and star of the show coming up. On Twitter and Instagram at Mark Arum. Friday, live in studio with Deb Green, Longo, and Low T. It's the Mark Arum Show on 95.5 WSB.
Mark Arum on 95.5 WSB. Atlantis News and Talk.
Final segment of the program, closing out the work week with JC and Jefferson. JC, welcome to the program, buddy.
Good. I haven't gotten the radio yesterday because I don't know what happened there because I called in yesterday and I got nowhere.
Oh, really? Well, I only did an hour yesterday, and I was in for Von Hessler. Real quick, did you have a good Halloween? I almost said Thanksgiving again.
Yeah, I have time. I do a knock joke for you.
Go ahead, real quick.
Okay, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dog.
Dog who?
Dog that goes woof, can't stop barking.
Have a great weekend, buddy. Ashley's in Riverdale. Ashley, welcome to the Mark Arum Show. How are you?
How you doing, Mark?
Excellent. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I'm a former police officer. I did 15 years in law enforcement, and I did several years in homicide with the agency that I worked for.
Thank you for your service.
I want to talk about the Robert Olson case a little bit.
Yeah, please.
There's a lot of things that were a lot of bad decisions were made by Robert Olson when he decided to use deadly force on that occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You see a naked guy coming at you with his hands out. Obviously, he's not armed. You could have went to less lethal force. I tell my rookies when I used to train them, like, there's nothing wrong with getting back in your car and waiting for backup to show up.
Yeah.
So, in that aspect, I mean, I would have gone down on them pretty hard if I was in the jury, being that I was a law enforcement officer. And another thing is the district attorney. Charging with murder was a little bit of an overreach.
Yeah, I thought manslaughter would have been a more appropriate charge.
Voluntary manslaughter would have been a more appropriate charge. Yeah. That way it gives
you know, here's the deal. Again, thanks for the call, Ashley. We got to run. You know what? Some people just aren't meant to be police officers. Maybe, you know, Officer Olson was one of them. And there are bad people in every profession. There are bad people in every profession. Not bad people, but people are bad at their job in every profession. And law enforcement is no different. I'm not saying that bad people are in every profession while looking at you, Longoria. I don't mean that. You're amazing at your profession.
And now, are you guys ready for the Mark Arum
show? I'm getting star of the show. I worked my tail off yesterday and today. Well, don't give me that look. You took a half a day.
Took a whole day, but I was here the whole day today.
Yeah, you ran the Erickson Network. Good job. That's $8,000 to $10,000 a day.
I wish.
We got a big week of shows next week, Millennial Match Game, all that fun stuff. We will continue the conversation over the weekend on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Arum, Facebook Mark Arum WSB. In the meantime, go to sleep, little baby.
Yippers.
Guests of the Mark Arum Show stay at the All Suite Omni Hotel, located in the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.